Welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm so glad you decided to spend a little bit of time with us today and hear another awesome episode from another extraordinary mom. If you're joining us for the very first time, welcome. The Extraordinary Moms Podcast is a podcast where I talk with a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons that they've learned along the way. As you will see, no two extraordinary moms look the same. And extraordinary moms are not the moms that are doing the most grand things. They're doing extraordinary things in the ordinary circumstances that they're in. They're serving their families and their children with great love, and that is exactly what makes an extraordinary mom. So I hope you've enjoyed all of our episodes so far. If you haven't done so already, if you would head over to iTunes, it would be so helpful if you would rate and review the podcast. The more ratings and reviews that we have, the better chance people have of finding us just from the masses of other podcasts that are out there. So if you could rate and review us, I love your feedback, but more than that, it really helps us to get found by new followers and new listeners. So thanks so much for doing that. And if you've already done it, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Also, while you're there, you can subscribe, and that way you never miss an episode. But if you subscribe today, you're not going to get the previous episodes. So if there's any previous episodes that are of interest to you, make sure you download those individually, and you can get caught up with all the guests that we've had on so far. We have such a great range of women who share their stories so beautifully. They're so inspiring, so encouraging. I can't wait for you to hear it. Today I'm going to talk with Jessica G. of the Bucket List Family. You may have seen them on Instagram. They sold everything they own with their two little kids, she and her husband, and they're traveling around the world. And literally, they just hop from place to place. It is an amazing journey, and I had so many questions for her about their lifestyle and how they ended up on this crazy journey. Enjoy this conversation with Jessica with me. All right, I want to welcome Jessica G to the show. Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
Where am I talking to you from?
I am currently in Turks and Caicos.
And how long have you been there?
We got here a few days ago on set. I've been here 4 days, and we're here another 3 days. So.
All right. Well, as the listeners will find out, you're never in the same place for very long, which is unique to all of our other guests so far. So I can't wait to share more about your journey. But you are Jessica of the Bucket List Fam, if people are familiar with you on social media. You also have a YouTube, which is what, the Bucket List Fam?
The Bucket List Family.
Family, okay.
Yeah.
So if you want more information about Jessica and her family and their travels around the world, you can follow them there. And we'll link to all of this on our website, extraordinarymomspodcast.com. But Jessica, why don't you just give me a little background and help listeners to know who you are?
So my background is I'm from Denver, Colorado, born and raised. I've been married for coming up on 7 years. I met my husband Garrett in Russia on missions for our church. Now we have two kids, Dorothy, who's 3, and Manila, who's 1.5. And we're currently just traveling around the world, so...
Wow. Okay. So let's just jump right into that.
Sure.
So when you thought about, I want to travel with my family, what did that look like for you? Did you travel growing up?
I traveled a little bit. Most of our family vacations were usually Disney.
Okay.
We're from Colorado and would go over to Florida almost every year. 1 year we did go over to Europe and that was really fun. Travel, I've always loved it, just never really had, like, an opportunity to go too many crazy places.
And what about your husband?
My husband grew up traveling a bunch. His mom is also a travel writer, and she traveled a ton. So my husband's been all over the world, and he has a travel bug way more than I ever did.
So is that something you were looking forward to? So when you got married, is that something you were, like, planning on for your life?
Yeah, we always wanted to travel. We traveled quite a bit just even in the States when we were engaged and dating. You know, we went over to Seattle, we went to Utah, went to Arizona, went to California. So we traveled quite a bit even just when we were dating. So I knew he enjoyed travel, but once we got married is kind of when we started even traveling more. But to Mexico, to French Polynesia, out to Boston. So we've been traveling for quite a while.
Yeah. And so then when you started your family and you had your daughter and then your son, how did that impact your vision of travel for your family?
Traveling is is something we highly value, mm-hmm. not only just to get out and see the world, but to like build on our relationship.
Yeah.
So at least once a year, we would leave the kids at home and go out by ourselves, thanks to some amazing grandmas who would who would watch the kids.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm sure now that you have a comparison between leaving the kids behind with grandma versus taking them along everywhere, it's kind of a different experience, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, totally. Totally, yeah. Totally. And usually when we do, before we, you know, left on this adventure, when we travel, it was either a parent's trip or a kid's trip.
Okay.
And it was, you know, if you try to mesh the two, sometimes it was hard, like, you know, wanting to do grown-up things but having kids. So we've had to, like, focus on that, you know that, like, these vacations aren't just for like me and Garrett to be able to go off and do our own things, but you know, we really try to focus on everything we do for the most part is kid friendly. We obviously are make sure to get out and go and do some grown up things and have the babysitters come every once in a while and help us out.
Yeah. How do you find babysitters?
Nowadays we usually stay at some really great resorts who provide some nannies and babysitters for us. They've been just amazing, you know, and it's great when they're held responsible from an employer and stuff. And we've had some really good opportunities. I mean, maybe some moms might not agree with that, but it works for us and it's been a huge help.
Well, yeah, when you're living and traveling all together all the time, I mean, that's literally your only opportunity.
Yeah. We need that time.
We need
those days out to go, you know, just be by ourselves or even just do a dinner.
What compelled you to do this around the world journey? How old were your kids when you thought of this idea?
So when we, well, initially it was, let's see, so it was in January 2015.
Okay.
And we were living in California and my husband was working. And,
what does your husband do?
He develops apps.
Okay. Is he able to work no matter where you are?
Yeah, pretty much. So he had an app a few years back that he started in college and he sold it. And so once he sold it, he went out to work for the company that acquired them.
Okay.
And after working for them for a little bit, he kind of realized, this isn't really for me. And he wanted to go back to college to play soccer.
Mm.
So I didn't want to go back to, you know, the city that we went to college in.
Yeah.
So I was like, I feel like we're going backwards. So we had said, okay, well, how about, you know, we'll go back. Let me play one more semester of soccer. And then we'll plan on traveling. So, like, that'll basically be like, okay, you know, August 2015, we're going to take off. And that'll force us to, like, you know, not stick around. So I was like, okay, great. So initially, the travel was just supposed to be a few months. Kind of when wanted to go around the South Pacific. And then we were just going to kind of reevaluate. But back in December when we went home, we both felt strongly that we should keep going. So it's kind of turned into, you know, a lifestyle now as opposed to just a vacation.
So you went from August to December.
December did the South Pacific, did Tahiti and Tonga and New Zealand and Australia and Bali and Thailand. So did over there. And then we flew back home for Christmas, kind of regrouped. And then we've been in the Caribbean for the last month. And we'll be here until the end of April.
Okay. And then do you know what's next?
May, June will be the Pacific Northwest, so Washington and Oregon, and maybe a little bit of Canada, and then we're going to head over to Europe for the summer. So.
Awesome. Where's your stuff? How much stuff do you have, or how much stuff did you have?
Sold to pay for this. We didn't want to use any of the money that we had made from the acquisition of my husband's company. We wanted to set that aside. So we sold everything, and that is funding our adventures.
Were you
our kitchen, our furniture, everything.
Were you previously pretty minimalist, or was this like a big life transition?
I mean, we had moved quite a bit, so like, you know, every time you move, just kind of down, you know,
right,
house and stuff. So we didn't have a ton of stuff, but you know, we sold a lot. We, you know, your beds and everything that you have. So we have a few boxes and a few things that are just at family's house, and we'll get them when we decide to go back. But for now, there's not much. And it's been really nice living out of a suitcase. Like, I thought it would be hard. And I thought I would hate having so few clothes. But I like love it. It's totally liberating.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it is an adjustment at first. But you definitely realize how little you actually need.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, we have I don't know, like five bags that everything's in, and two of those bags are like camera equipment.
Yeah.
And everything else is just, you know, it's just a few clothes and some toiletries, and we buy diapers along the way, and
right.
we buy formula along the way, and we, Dorothy, my daughter Dorothy has her few toys and her iPad, and just
yeah.
kind of how we cruise.
That is amazing. That is so amazing. So is your husband continuing to work while you're traveling, or are you just kind of
yeah,
living
he
off
works.
Of
I mean,
whatever?
Now we kind of have, we've started to focus on this,
yeah.
And we want, and now we're, this is kind of turning into a self-fueling kind of company in its own, where we're able to promote some companies and some hotels and resorts and brands along the way. And that now that is starting to fund our adventures, because we still don't want to have to dip into our savings.
Right. Yeah. Tell me about that. How are people finding out about you, and how are you kind of planning where you go, things like that?
Well, a lot of where we want to go or started going was just what was on our bucket list. I've been dying to go to New Zealand.
Yeah.
My husband loves the beach, and he always wants to be in the beach, and he loves being underwater. So that's what took us to Tonga to dive with the humpback whales. And and then, you know, we were here in the Bahamas, and he dove with the hammerheads. So, you know, like, we love being around these animals. We're going to Dominica soon, and that's with the sperm whales and the turtles during their hatching or their laying season. And so, yeah, we kind of follow some of that stuff, and, you know.
Wow. That is so amazing.
It's a natural event.
Wow. And how are your kids with all this travel? I mean,
they're great.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm super happy and impressed that they're so good. My daughter Dorothy loves it. Every time we go somewhere, she's like, "We're going to a new house. Does this house have a pool?"
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of the hotels we stay at have pools, and she just loves it. And I don't know how it's going to be when we settle down. She's really starting to want friends,
okay,
and school. So that might, you know, that's kind of why we're going to be in the Northwest, for Pacific Northwest, for a little bit. We're planning on staying there for like 6 weeks, and my daughter can get into school and some activities, you know. So she really wants that, and I definitely, as a mom, want her to be learning and getting those social skills. So,
for sure. I saw a few months ago or a few weeks ago, I can't even remember, but you enrolled her in preschool, right? In one of your locations?
So we were teaching at an orphanage.
Oh, okay.
In Bali every day. And so she would just come and like sit in the class, and she just loved it. I mean, they were like 7 and 8 year olds, but she did so good.
That's amazing. That is so great. And I mean, yeah. Are they around many other children typically?
Not too many. Sometimes you have friends come out. Right now we have some friends with us, and they have two little kids, and she's just having a blast.
Right.
And then, other times, you know, she's so good about going up to little girls or kids at a pool and being like, "Hey, you want to play mermaids with me?"
Right, exactly.
So she's become very brave. I'm like proud of her, how much she's like, she will, you know, go out and say, "Hey, do you want to be my friend right now?"
Yeah.
It's cute.
It's, I mean, that's definitely something we can learn from our children. Like the fact that you can be so present, you don't need to be longing for home or longing for the comforts and the people that you know well. It's like there's people all around you. If you just take the time to extend your hand and say, "Hi, my name is," that's all it takes usually.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That is amazing. So tell me some of your favorite places and some special memories that you've made with your children.
Well, one of the things that I loved, like I said, was probably the orphanage in Bali where Dorothy was in school. That was the cutest, most rewarding thing. We would just, every day we kind of came with like a theme, and we would either talk about sports or cooking or animals or something, and we would just talk about those.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just play games and sing songs and stuff. So that was really fun.
How did you get hooked up with that orphanage?
So that particular one we found on a website called I Like Local.
Okay.
And they're really awesome. They show a bunch of just like local things to do as opposed to like tourist activities. You know, you can learn how to cook with like a local family in Thailand and that kind of stuff. So anyway, that somebody had written about this orphanage they visited and put all the details and stuff. So then I contacted them and
That's awesome. Do you find that you're drawn to doing the things that are less touristy in these locations?
We do a bit of both. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, we still want to like be able to do the things that each place is known for, but mm-hmm. then at the same time, like, I feel like you always end up having more fun when you're like talking to a local or, you know, going to church with the locals or, you know.
Yeah. You really get a better feel for the culture. Yeah, you get a much
better feel. So, I mean, resorts are amazing and always really, really beautiful. But at the end of the day, sometimes it's just more fun to be talking to the
Yeah, 100%. What about for your kids? What are Dorothy's favorites?
She loves all the animals she's seen. She's loved the elephants and the dolphins and the llamas and the kangaroos. And
it's like a real life zoo to her.
Yeah, like she loves all the animals. And then she loves swimming. Last week, she learned how to swim. And so that was another special thing, just watching her learn how to swim, you know, in St. Kitts in the middle of the Caribbean and seeing her, it like finally click with her. It was so fun.
Right. So when she's older, you can say, oh, remember when you learned how to swim in St. Kitts?
Like, I know, exactly.
That was so nice. That was so awesome. One of my friends lives in the Middle East, and her boys one time were comparing the Indian Ocean and the Dead Sea, because they've been doing a lot of travel as well.
That's
and he's
cool.
Like, oh, I'd much rather go back to the Indian Ocean because, man, the Dead Sea stung my scrape so bad. And they're like 4 years old. But I mean, they're never, I think sometimes we want to wait until kids are older to travel or to have them have more of a memory of those experiences. But I think, as you can probably attest, they have a great capacity to learn and take in things they're exposed to when they're very young.
Totally. You know, only time will tell. I'm super curious to see how much my daughter will remember. Seems to do very well. My son is, you know, he's only 18 months,
right.
I don't know if he'll remember much at all. But at the same time, we have a ton of pictures.
Yeah.
And just the values we're learning and teaching our kids. I mean, that's really what's going to stick anyway, is the time we're spending together,
right.
People we're meeting, the cultures we're seeing. That's really what I care about most in the end.
Yeah. What are you learning about people and humanity in general as you're being exposed to these different cultures?
I mean, we're learning that people are kind and happy and generous and loving everywhere we go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter what color you are, how old you are, what religion you are, that everybody's just the same and that we're all, you know, here on earth doing the same thing and just trying to be good.
Yeah. Do you notice anything different about children? Anything
no,
that
and that mm-hmm. that was exactly where I learned it was at the same orphanage.
Yeah.
Just that kids just want to have fun and they want to laugh and they want to play and they want to sing. You know, It's like when we went to that orphanage, I went kind of going being like, oh, I'm going to be with these orphans and I'm going to help them and their life's going to be changed forever because of me. And like, I don't know who I thought I was, but like after going there, it takes like 15 seconds before I realized, these are kids, and like they didn't even know how little they had. You know,
right.
They were playing and singing and dancing and laughing and wrestling. Like kids are kids, no matter where they are in the world. And so it really touched me to see, like, and just humbled me. You know,
mm-hmm.
Who am I to think that I can go in and help somebody? You know, these kids are the ones that really are just so pure and have such, you know, childlike views on the world, but they don't care anything about you, who you are, where you come from, how much money you have. They're just so pure.
Yeah, I think it's funny sometimes when celebrities go to visit these like obscure places where the kids or even the adults in that area, they don't have any concept of like fame or status.
I know.
See the movies. And so these celebrities walk in like, here I am.
Totally.
Let me paint your buildings.
Like,
yeah.
That like, you know, these like poor starving children, you know, and I know there are places like that. This wasn't one of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, kids just wanted to play and be loved and they wanted to play with our kids. And that's what was so fun. And my kids loved it. They loved the friendship and how just they welcomed them in with open arms and, you know.
Yes. Yeah. What about the language barriers?
Yep. Nope. It doesn't matter, especially with kids.
There's a lot of hand gesturing and...
Yeah, you know, we met this couple the other day that are sailing around the world.
Okay.
And they're from Canada. They're, you know, and they speak French. Their parents speak fluent English, but the kids don't, like, hardly speak anything. And they came over for dinner the other night. And, you know, this little 7-year-old French-Canadian girl was playing with Dorothy. And they are just having a blast. They don't understand a word each other's saying, but...
Yeah.
It was so fun to just see them enjoy each other.
That's amazing. That's so awesome. And you've been so great at documenting your journey, too. So even for the moments that your kids don't remember, especially your son, since he's so young,
yeah.
It's like you can relive this forever. Yeah. Which is
now, my
so
husband
special.
Does a great job. He's really into the photography, and he's a huge journal keeper. So,
oh, that's great.
I mean, we're putting stuff out there on our social media, but very much it is for us.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't wait to. We love already sitting down and watching the videos from the last, you know, from the last year.
Absolutely, absolutely. So now that you've done so many flights and staying in different places, have you discovered any travel tips for traveling, especially with children?
You know, I book my flights, I book long flights overnight because my kids do better on like a red eye.
Okay.
I know some people might not want to do that, but, I try to book it around like a nap time if possible. I mean, delays happen and all the time your perfect plan is.
Yeah. Right.
But, I do that. And then we always ask the flight attendants if there's extra space. And if there's extra space, we try to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
And they're always so nice. Like, people are really nice traveling. I think a lot of moms get really scared about traveling with kids. And some people get annoyed. There's always those mean people. But, I think I've ran into one of those.
Yeah.
In my, like, 50 flights in the last year.
Yeah, you know, that's really encouraging.
Everybody else is just so kind and helpful, you know. And if I need to go to the bathroom and need some help with, you know, an extra hand, then like somebody is always willing to help put my bag up or do something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so nice. I'm sure you've learned a lot about just like the kindness all around
you. Everybody's so kind, you know, and a lot of people have been in my shoes, so they know what it's like traveling with a young kid. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But then you're also glad when you're in that older phase of life and you're sitting there and yes, there may be a crying toddler ahead of you, but you're like, ah, I have my book, you know,
I know.
Like better you than me.
If somebody, I mean, this happened once. I went to Atlanta with my girlfriends back in January while we were home and I had a 4-hour flight all to myself and it was just so exciting.
You don't take it for granted.
Oh, totally. Like a flight alone, a 13-hour flight across the ocean alone sounds like dreamy to me.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I know, sometimes there's memes about, like, going to Target's a vacation, but for you it's like, oh, just a little flight.
Just alone time is all I want.
That's your normal. Yeah, do you ever feel like you just want to be alone? There's a lot of togetherness.
Yeah, it is a lot of togetherness. My husband and I always, we both work out every day, and that hour and a half is our alone time, is our, like, time to think and, you know, get something done. And
yeah.
We're really good about giving each other that time if we need it, but it's usually workout time when we get that.
Yeah, that's really smart. I would imagine that is totally necessary to stay
sane.
Yeah, to put it nicely. Yeah, for sure. Wow. You mentioned earlier about wanting to teach your children values. What are those values that you're hoping to teach your children out of this experience or just in life in general?
I mean, kindness, service, love, compassion, those values that, you know, are everywhere and that I think are the most important.
Yeah. Do you feel like this has changed your mothering or your parenting style or technique or perspective at all?
That's a good question. I don't think it's changed much. I mean,
you seem like a pretty easygoing person. I didn't know you before,
I'm not the most uptight mom, and but maybe a little bit to a fault. But I don't know. If anything, it's taught me that, like you were saying, and like your whole show is about, like, everybody's going to parent differently and everybody, you know, and everything's going to work out.
Yeah.
I had so many concerns when we started this, so many concerns, you know, and some of them were so little.
Yeah.
But in the end, you know, it all works out and my kids are going to be fine and safe. And I want them to know that I love them and that my husband loves them, that we're, you know, that all that matters is that we're together. There was the other day we were, had a layover in Miami. And they like deleted our flight. Our flight was canceled, or not canceled, like they canceled our ticket. And we were so mad, and we had all these bags, and both of our kids were screaming. Manila had fallen on the floor and was like bleeding. And I just remember being like, this is it. Is this, like, do we just quit? Like, are we done? Like, we don't have anywhere to go home to. But I remember thinking in my mind, like, what have we done? Like, what? You know, like, let's just go home. That's all I wanted to do was go home. But then when I was like, we have no home.
And what is home is us, is just wherever the four of us are.
Yeah.
Is where home is. And so it kind of just made me think that, you know, down the road, even when we do have our house, it doesn't matter what we live in or where we are in the world. All that matters is just that we're together.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that you don't necessarily take the time to realize that type of perspective when you're living just a typical life in America.
Right.
My son just came in pantsless from the bathroom, so there we go.
Okay.
Don't mind me. Yeah, I think that's so important. I think that's so important. So I know that you are not totally set on your plans for, you know, the next year or even, but you have the next few months mapped out. Is that how far you kind of look ahead, just a few months ahead?
Yeah, we're kind of a few months ahead. I mean, we have an idea for the rest of the year. I'm not sure which, we kind of have one or two ways it can go, but, and then we already have a few things planned for next year.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, I would like to find a place at least to maybe rest my feet.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons we're going to the Pacific Northwest, to see maybe this is a place where we can, like, set up a little shop.
Yeah, for sure. And do you think that this travel could, like, be a lifestyle change, both, like, monetarily and just, like, fueling your passions from now on?
My husband and I were talking about this the other day. Like, I can't imagine going home and just, like, stopping. Like, I think even if we did go, you know, find somewhere to get a house or something, then, or an apartment, we'd quickly be like, okay, like, where's next, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what this does to us and our family in the future. I don't know if we'll always just kind of want to be mobile, or if we'll want to settle down. I mean, I definitely, like, I grew up in, like, the most, like, stereotypical, like, American home you can possibly think of. You know, father had a 9-to-5, we did a few good trips a year and stuff, and so I can't imagine not having my kids in sports and activities and having their group of friends and having my group of friends. So I don't know how this will play out. I would imagine that we very much, you know, we still travel 4 to 6 times a year.
Yeah. Yeah. What was I going to ask? Oh, so what does your family think of this? If, you know, if you were raised more in, like, a traditional, like, plant your roots kind of family, what do they think?
My husband's family are big travelers, so they're, like, totally stoked, super supportive. Yeah. My family is supportive, but I think they're more worriers because this is so, like, non-traditional. So I think my mom worries a lot. She's really supportive, but I know she worries.
Yeah, I'm sure. What's the?
I would do the exact same thing.
Yeah,
you know, like, I try to keep in touch as much as I can, but, you know, sometimes I don't have Wi-Fi for, like, a week or something, and she's kind of like, I don't know where you are. I see you're posting, but I don't know, like, what's happening.
You're swimming with sharks, and then you go radio silent for a week.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Not so helpful.
Like, kind of in the dark, but.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And, you know, my brothers and sisters, they love hearing our stories. And I really hope this year our family members will be able to come and join us.
Absolutely, so. I'm sure. I'm sure a lot of people are just really living vicariously through you. Because be it, like, schedules or finances or just priorities, I mean, this is not realistic for a lot of families. But, I mean, when I found out about your story, I'm like, how cool is that? My husband's like, you would never do that. I'm like, but I can still think it's awesome.
Yeah, and my husband and I talk about that a lot. You know, a lot of people, you know, say they're envious or would love to do this and stuff, but it's interesting to see who really does like to travel, you know? And I think everybody can make travel a priority if they're willing to.
Right.
But, you know, this isn't for everybody, and I get that. And I think even if people were in the same financial situation that we are, I don't think many people would do what we're doing.
Not for this length of time. This is a big commitment.
No. Especially with this young kid.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's not easy. What would you say the hardest part is of your lifestyle right now?
I think the hardest part is just the change. Yeah. It's just the constant moving. You know, I think later on in the year, we're going to try to be in places longer. Mm-hmm. This last month and a half has been really hard. We've been moving almost more than once a week, you know, even wow. just, it, sometimes we'll stay in the same country, but we'll just switch hotels or resorts or houses. And we need to start like staying in a place for a while. That's what was nice about New Zealand and Australia. You know, we would be in a house for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And so I think that's, you know, we're doing that in Portland. And then I think when we go to Europe, we'll try to stay in like, an Airbnb for like a month in Greece or for like a month in Turkey or whatever country we decide to go to.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to ask too. So how are you finding where to stay? So do you use Airbnb?
Yeah. If we want to go the rental home route, we do Airbnb, which is really great. And then just with resorts, we've started to reach out to some and see if they would be able to host us or, and then some of them is just some places we go are just recommendations from other people.
Yeah. That's amazing. That is so cool. Yeah, I just think that your journey is so extraordinary, and you are taking on what a lot of us would consider like a harder route, like moving a lot, traveling a lot, all the logistics, all the here, there, and everywhere. But I mean, think of what you're adding to your life and to your kids' lives. Like, I just think that's a beautiful thing. Does she want to say anything?
Are you having fun? Yeah.
Do you like swimming with the animals?
Do you like swimming? Mm-hmm. Are you a mermaid now?
I heard you learned to swim. Is that true?
Did you swim with the sharks? Yeah. No, you didn't swim with sharks?
Yeah.
Did you pet a shark? Mm-hmm.
Did you like them?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Are they mean or nice?
Nice.
Yeah, they're nice. Wow. Sharks are nice.
Yeah. Wow. That is amazing. Not many three-year-olds can say they've done that. That is awesome. Oh, that's just so great. So I always ask my guests one final question. What would you tell your pre-motherhood self before embarking on motherhood and this journey in particular? What would you tell yourself?
I'd tell myself not to stress, not to worry that things are going to be okay. Like I had mentioned, like as long as we're together, everything's okay. It doesn't matter what we bring, what we don't bring, what we, you know, where we stay, we're going to be safe and everything's going to be okay. My husband is like the ultimate optimist. And I'm like, you know, I feel like the wife is always like the sound mind.
Yeah.
It's like, but wait.
You kind of need both.
Yeah. But, you know, just to be, and then also that, I've surprised myself and I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of myself that I can live out of a suitcase that I can pick up and move every week. I'm like shocked that I'm doing good and that I'm enjoying myself. I thought I very much would be like, okay, like let's chill here.
Right.
But I'm loving it. So,
I love that.
Definitely not the lifestyle I ever saw, but, I'm really loving everything we're doing right now. So
I love that. What a great perspective. And I just think even for people that aren't necessarily going to pursue worldwide travel like this, I mean, it's just such a healthy perspective to have that you can do harder things than you think.
You don't always know
what you're capable of. And you have to be willing to have your life be adaptable to the opportunities that present themselves. And that's pretty awesome, because think of if you'd let your fears stop you from pursuing this.
Oh, totally. Especially with travel, you know, there's so many reasons not to travel.
Yeah.
And if people just make it a priority, if they like really want to travel, then, you know, it's not hard to make it happen. And if anybody thinks it's hard, then just ask me and I'll tell you how you can make it work.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me again, what are the resources that people can find you at?
Okay, so there's our blog, which is thebucketlistfamily.com. Instagram on The Bucket List Family, and YouTube on The Bucket List Family.
Awesome.
Those would be the best places. You can find us on Snapchat and Twitter and Facebook, but the YouTube and the Instagram will probably be the best places.
That's awesome. And if I was going to save up for a trip anywhere in the world with my family, where should we go?
With kids or without kids?
With kids.
Well, it depends. What do you like to do?
I just like beautiful places.
Okay, then go to New Zealand.
Okay. My brother's going in a couple weeks, and I'm super jealous.
When we started this, I wanted to, my plan was to travel for 3 months and then live a year in New Zealand. But that's not the plan that we felt good about. So we continue travel, but maybe even next year. I don't know.
One you of never these years, know.
I'm just going to go set up shop down in New Zealand.
You never.
I think we should all just move to New Zealand.
Yeah. That is so awesome. Well, you never know what the next step will be. Thank you so much. I know that with
thank you, Jessica.
Spotty internet and whatnot, I know this is a big sacrifice for you to take the time to record, but I just really appreciate it, and I think people will love hearing about your lifestyle.
Can't wait to see it. Well, thanks for what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's going to be really helping a lot of people, so I think it's really great.
Well, you can download them, and you can listen on your long flights.
Yes, genius.
Perfect. Okay. All right, thanks, Jessica. Have a great day.
Catch you later. Bye, Jessica. Bye.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Jessica. It is just so fascinating to me how different people live their lives. And with two little kids, she bravely set out on this around-the-world trip, and she didn't let her fears or the logistical limitations or, you know, complications hold them back from doing the things that they really wanted to do. They had these places they wanted to visit on their bucket list, and they went for it. And I just really admire that. And I think we can all do that in our own lives according to our own priorities. So I hope that you found that interesting. Made me want to save up for a trip to New Zealand. And, you know, it makes you just want to step out and experience new things with your family. That might mean checking out a new museum, going to a new park, or it might mean going to Bali. I love that we could all live own versions of extraordinary lives. It's just fabulous. So thank you, Jessica, for sharing your story. I wish them the best of luck in their travels going forward. And you can also follow along in their journey. Like she said, the Bucket List Family on Instagram, on YouTube, and at their website. So I can't wait to see where they're headed next and the new adventures that they have. As always, you can follow me on Instagram, JessicaDahlquist3. You can go to my website, Extraordinary Moms Podcast, to get more information about Jessica and her family, as well as all the other guests I've had on so far. You can see pictures of their travels, and all the contact information for any of the resources we mentioned will also be listed in the show notes. I hope everyone has a great week, and I look forward to talking with you next week. Bye.